Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Members of Congress are trying to put in place an amendment that would impact security at the airports. And here to talk to us about it, Jeff Freeman, President and CEO of U.S. Travel Association. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Newell, it's good to be with you again.
Senator Jeff Merkley and Senator John Kennedy are the authors of this amendment. What are they trying to do?
Well, right now, Congress is looking at funding the Federal Aviation Administration, approving a lot of new reforms that are necessary to improve the air travel process. And in the process of doing that, we've had a couple senators introduce really dangerous legislation and amendment to this that would restrict the use of biometrics in the airports. You know, biometrics are fingerprints, biometrics are eye scans, biometrics are facial recognition. It's all the things that we need to improve TSA, to improve the facilitation of travelers. It's the type of stuff that two-thirds of travelers support. But these folks, with this amendment they're proposing, would set us back 20 years in terms of just doing everything based on a physical license, doing everything kind of that hard way we did it pre-9/11, which would be really, really detrimental.
So this would even prohibit those that volunteer to do so as well?
Right. That's the concern. This would ban the use of facial recognition and other things, those that use clear for your eyes, those that use the fingerprint scan. This would ban those types of things from proceeding. That's a massive concern to us. Travelers recognize that the future is biometrics. You know, I was with TSA leadership last week in Atlanta, and we were looking at their new digital ID that was processing travelers in 6 seconds or less. And to think that that type of technology could be eliminated if something like this proceeds is what really has us concerned. Now, fortunately, the Senate Commerce Committee released a draft of the FAA bill today or late last night. It did not include this amendment. But this thing's going to the floor on Wednesday of this week, and we're concerned that these senators may continue to pursue this. And it's misguided. I think we all understand risks associated with facial recognition. We hear of things that are done in other countries. I fear in an effort to address concerns that they would substantially limit the possible, limit the ability to give travelers a better experience, and that is so concerning to us.
So what is their hang up with this? What is their motivation?
Yeah, I think their motivation, despite a lot of briefings, is concern about what would the government do with your eye scan, your facial scan, your fingerprints. Well, the truth is the government has a lot of this information already. For those that have a passport, the government has this information. When you go and get a real ID driver's license, the government has this information. The interesting thing about what happens in the airport is they will use your facial scan, connect it to your passport photo, and then the photo is deleted. It's not even saved within TSA or other government computers outside of what's already within the passport office. So I think their concern is what they've seen done in perhaps some other countries and the way perhaps some of these other countries use that information. I think we have a vastly different situation here in the United States. We want to create systems that are opt-in, and that goes back to your earlier question. If travelers don't want to provide this information, they can do that. 65% of travelers today do not join TSA PreCheck. They want to go in the normal standard line where they provide less information about themselves and they get, frankly, a clumsier experience. But for those who want to provide more information about themselves, for those who are willing to share that information in exchange for a better experience, that's the type of thing we need to protect. That's the type of thing we need to grow. Because I think, you know, when I look at Jazz Fest in New Orleans right now, when I look at business travelers who are on the road frequently, you know, informed, experienced travelers are more and more comfortable each year providing information in exchange for a more streamlined experience.
Jeff, I fall on whatever I need to give you in order to get through that line quicker. If it means I share my underwear size with you guys, you got it. I want to get through the line. That's all I want to do. And I want to take off the least amount of belts, this, watches, whatever, as possible in order to do so. I mean, I think most people I talk to, that's where they fall on this issue.
That's the point, Newell. I think if you look at the security experience for those who are not in TSA PreCheck, that experience from a traveler standpoint really hasn't changed much since 9/11. People are still taking liquids out. They're taking their shoes off. They're taking their belt off. They're taking their laptop out. It doesn't have to be that way. And we see that in PreCheck, that there's an alternative. But if we want to continue to innovate, if we want to continue to evolve the experience, then we need to use biometrics. We need to use the most modern and accurate information we can in order to process travelers more securely and more efficiently. That's what TSA is proposing to do. I give TSA a ton of credit here. TSA and their current administrator is seeking to innovate at every turn, and unfortunately, we have a couple folks in Congress who want to stop innovation. That's what keeps us up at night.
How many openings are there in TSA? Last time I saw it was a crazy number. I mean, they're having the same experience that law enforcement's having. That's this lack of human capital. It begs of technology, right?
Such a good point. Whether it's TSA, Customs, wherever it is in the governmental workforce, there are a shortage of employees. And for those that come into the United States internationally, Americans coming back into the country, we have the option of joining Global Entry, where you don't even meet with a customs officer. You just go to a kiosk. You confirm that you are who you say you are. You eventually hand a document to a customs officer on the way out. But that's all there is, right? That's how we can take one person and enable them to service hundreds of people. We just don't have enough officers to do things the old-fashioned way. And the truth is, and you'll hear this from law enforcement, the old-fashioned way wasn't as secure as we thought it was. You know, when you and I bring in our plastic driver's license, that is nowhere near as accurate. And the reading of that is nowhere near as accurate as facial, as using eyes or fingerprints. Biometrics are so much more accurate. So sometimes we seem to get stuck in our old way of doing things. Doing things in a new way is both a better use of limited resources, to your point, as well as a security benefit in terms of its accuracy. And that's what, you know, again, some members of Congress don't fully understand. That's why we're working so hard to prevent people from taking us back to yesteryear. And we're working hard to give travelers what they want, which is a more efficient and secure system.
You know, Jeff, and those that talk about or worry about, well, you know, what if the automation gets it wrong? I mean, the beauty of this, though, is that typically people that are traveling, right, they have a secondary, they have another form of ID, whether it be their passport or their driver's license, that you're able to fall back to right then and there. And the system is set up to accept that as well.
Yeah, indeed, that happens. I frequently use clear. And even when you use clear one out of every five times or so, you're still required to show your ID to the TSA officer. They have fail-safe mechanisms. They have backstops on all of these things. So I think that the question becomes, if we want people to travel, and I believe we do, I believe it supports the New Orleans economy. I believe it's incredibly important to Louisiana and just about every other corner of this country. If we want people to travel, we've got to look at the frictions in the travel process and figure out how we remove them. The simple truth is that aviation in the United States today is more difficult than it should be. Whether it's the TSA screening process, the fact that nearly a quarter of all flights are delayed or canceled, many of them due to the fact that air traffic control is thousands of air traffic controllers short of where they need to be. When you look across the aviation experience, it's not the first-rate experience that Americans should expect. That's what we have to address, right? That this is, for those of your, you know, your listeners wondering, why are we talking about this? Because it's directly tied to the New Orleans economy. All those visitors coming in each and every week, it's critical that we give those visitors, if we want to increase the numbers, the most efficient, secure experience possible, to encourage them to get out of their homes, get off their couch, and get down to New Orleans.
Absolutely. Jeff, while I have you, you brought up air traffic controllers. You and I have talked about this at least two or three times. Where do we stand right now? Has there been any improvement in the hiring process of additional ATCs?
So, great question. This same FAA bill that I'm talking about that came out of committee last night that's going to go to the floor of the Senate this week and the House floor next week puts in place new staffing standards that should help close the gap. As I said, we're about 3,000 air traffic controllers short of where we need to be. This new bill requires FAA to implement improved staffing standards. It also sets maximum hiring targets to increase air traffic controller staffing. So this is going to push FAA and provide them with needed resources to address this issue. It's not going to be easy, right? Air traffic control is a tough job. You've got to be competitive. Yeah. You've got to be aggressive in how you go after these folks. So we're all going to need to support FAA as they pursue this. But we're thrilled to have Congress as a partner in really raising the bar for FAA, providing some of the needed resources, and closing the gap on the thousands of air traffic controllers that we're currently lacking.
Jeff, I think you would back me up on this because I'm sure you've been in an air traffic control building. All you need to do is go spend about 30 minutes up there and watch what they're doing and how fast these decisions are being made and all these blips on the screens, and you have a new appreciation for what they do.
What they do is incredible. It goes underappreciated too often. It's a tough job, and it's a stressful job, right? You've got a big obligation when you're in this role, and that's why they need folks supporting them. They need Congress providing the necessary dollars. They need from the private sector and the public sector, a greater sense of support for how important this role is. They're getting that from the travel industry. Nobody is fighting harder to bring in more air traffic controllers, to make sure that they have suitable wages, to address underlying issues. No one's working harder than the broader travel industry. What air traffic controllers do is incredibly important to all of us, and we've certainly got their back when it comes to providing the resources they need.
Jeff, if you don't mind, I'm going to impose on you one last time. The airline industry is at a tough point right now, right?
Well, let's look at it. Demand for air travel is off the charts. You know, I think we go back 4 years, people were wondering what the heck's going to happen to the travel industry. It would have been hard to imagine how fast this industry rebounded and what the demand for travel would be. I think that here in the United States, the major carriers, the discount carriers, many of them are doing well. They've learned throughout COVID where there were some inefficiencies in their business models. I listen to the earnings reports from the major carriers, and a lot of them are stronger than they were several years ago. The issue for many of them is the underlying problems in the system. We have an antiquated air traffic control system. We're still using ground to air radar, where we could be using GPS to be more efficient in certain areas. We've got concerns around pilot shortages as pilots get older. So there's a lot of underlying issues that the average flyer doesn't see. If we can address those underlying issues, some of which are addressed in this FAA legislation, we can build a stronger system. What I would say, though, is that Americans should demand a stronger system. I think we collectively are a little bit too passive. We accept what is as the way it has to be. Our air travel system can be a heck of a lot more efficient, a heck of a lot more comfortable, a heck of a lot more inviting for the traveler. And I think travelers should demand that, put that pressure on their elected officials to give them the world-class aviation system that they expect.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up it. It's a lot of the stuff that doesn't really reveal itself to the traveler, because that's what I was talking about. There's so many issues and the confluence of these issues that really are kind of outside of the airline industry's control in many respects, but has a significant impact on their day-to-day operations.
Well, I'll give you a great example. The Florida airspace is one that is very problematic. Why is it problematic? Obviously, the demand, the number of planes are in the sky, but we're also launching more spaceships than we've ever launched before, more rockets than we've ever launched before, more satellites than we've ever launched before. And for that reason, it creates a lot of complexities, along with weather in Florida and all along the Gulf Coast, that creates other complexities. So you combine the other things that are competing for airspace, you combine weather, you combine an FAA that has been understaffed, and that's what leads to a lot of the delays and cancellations that we all experience. That's not to say airlines can't get better. They can and will get better. I'm pleased with the conversations I'm having with those leaders to understand the investments they're making. But I think it's important as travelers for us to understand that this is a multifaceted system. There are other entities that are involved, and those other entities need to do their job. They need to show up on behalf of travelers as well, and we're beginning to see a little bit more of that.
Absolutely. Jeff Freeman, as always, truly appreciate your time, your insight. You bring a lot of context to these issues, and we appreciate that as well. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great week.
Newell, thanks so much. Take care.
All right. It's Jeff Freeman, President and CEO of U.S. Travel Association. We will be right back, folks. We'll go back to the talk lines, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the first hour, we talked about the cowardice of university leaders across this country. I asked what they fear, and what they should fear is their brand being impacted. And in an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, it points out that a study last fall by Harvard and Brown professors found that attending an elite college, an Ivy League school, the University of Chicago, Duke, Stanford, or MIT, instead of a selective public university, increased a student's likelihood of reaching the top 1% of the earnings distribution by 60%. It also nearly tripled the odds of working at a prestigious firm. Graduates of these elite colleges make up nearly half of Rhodes Scholars, 26.1% of journalists at the New York Times and Wall Street Journal, and 71.4% of Supreme Court justices appointed since 1967. Buying a college degree for its brand has historically paid off for students. The payoff will shrink if employers think less of the brand. And that's the road I think this is going down. That's what these university leaders ought to be fearing, is that they are allowing their brand to be tarnished by these individuals. You heard me talk about all of the sacrifices that these families have made, and the amount of time and energy and money they've put out to be able to send their kids to these elite schools. We use that term loosely. Elite. One has to wonder, elite in what fashion? Elite in what manner? And now, questioning elite in the outcome. It's going to be interesting to see where this ends up. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're up. What say you?
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call. I must admit, I agree with you. I'm a big fan of yours since your days as sheriff of Jefferson Parish. I agree with everything you said since you got on the air at 10 o'clock this morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. And let me bring up another issue. You talked about all the good things that happened over the weekend in the city and the surrounding area. The best thing that happened in Jefferson Parish was the people voting for Jackie Maloney for judge. Because not only did she not have any political connections, not only she didn't have the war chest that Lindsay Valente had. And I just want to ask you, New, is it common for a sitting sheriff, a former sheriff, and a parish president to endorse someone that's already politically connected? I mean, she's got the job that she had before she ran for office through her dad, and you hired her for that job. So I just wanted to find out if there's...
Well, Jeff, that's not true. You don't know what you speak of. I interviewed a number of people for that job. I chose Lindsay.
Oh, that's fine that you interviewed a number of people. That's great. And it just so happened to
I don't really need your affirmation, quite frankly.
No, that's fine.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, in fact, I would be asking the question, why is the DA endorsing someone other than a former employee of his? What game is played? Everybody talks about the politics. Everybody talks about the politics of this, that, and everything else, Jeff. You know, the reality is that her experience was very similarly situated to my experience.
Did you ever try a case in court? Did you never been a prosecutor? Have you never picked a jury? Was that her experience that coincided with yours.
In my view, there's a lot more to being a judge than just having that type of experience. You are an advocate as a lawyer. As a judge, you're not an advocate. And judicial temperament, to me, is far more important than whether or not you are an excellent advocate. The skill set for a judge as opposed to a lawyer are vastly different. Whether or not one understands and comprehends the rules of evidence and the law is not necessarily gained by being in a courtroom. In fact, Let me finish, Jeff. You know, okay? Because you want to attack why I supported an individual who I had a lot of confidence in. I've not ever attacked anybody that supported Jackie Maloney. That's their right to go support Jackie Maloney. I'm not angry about people that supported Jackie Maloney, and I'm not angry that Jackie Maloney won the election. She won the election fair and square. But yeah, I have every right, Jeff, to say what I believe is the ingredients of a good candidate for judge. You may disagree with me, that's fine. But I've not attacked Jackie Maloney, and I've not attacked any of her supporters. And I've not said she had political support as well. She didn't want to advertise it, but she had it. She had Councilman Dino Banana helping her. You know, but she decided to not talk about that. And that's okay. That was a strategy that she deployed, and obviously it worked for her. But don't come off saying, you know, the politics of this, that, or otherwise. You migrate to people you know. I don't know Jackie Maloney. I don't know much about her. I did go do my due diligence about it. I believe that Lindsay would have been a better candidate, a better judge. But she's not judge. Jackie Maloney is. And hopefully she's successful, and hopefully she brings the appropriate work ethic to the job, because that's what it takes, is management. Only 4% of cases end up going to trial in the criminal arena. 4%. So the fact of the matter is that you have to bring a separate skill set to being a judge, and that's managing. Managing a docket, much like the way that a lot of people that work as in-house lawyers for insurance companies or other business entities, they learn about the law in a different way than actually being a trial lawyer. To understand the construct of a trial is about as simple as it gets. It doesn't get any simpler than that. That's pretty low-hanging fruit. Managing that docket, managing the motion practice, managing a lot of that other stuff that has to go on each and every day, having the ability to say no to lawyers and the willingness to do so in order to increase the judicial efficiency of a court and a system is a far greater attribute than a lot of what is learned by being an advocate for a client. Advocates always try to put things in the best light, not necessarily truth. And there's a vast difference there. Is it nuanced? Yeah. Is it complicated? Yes. The voters decided. So I'm never going to apologize for opining, and I didn't talk about it on this show at all, by the way, because I thought that would be inappropriate, because I publicly supported and endorsed Lindsay Valenti. And the public chose otherwise. That's their right. I wish the voter turnout would have been greater. It was 12%. It would have been nice had it been 60. I don't know that it would have changed the outcome, but it would be nice to have more folks involved and looking at the race. All right, let's go to Joe. Joe, you're up. What say you?
Yeah, Newell. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling to agree with Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm calling to agree with Jeff because, you know, you you put your nose into a political campaign like that. And Jeff's 100% right. She was the most qualified person, and you went for this Valenti woman. I mean, I can't understand it.
You don't need to understand
it, Joe.
Don't
tell me she wasn't the most qualified, because she was.
You don't need to understand it, Joe. I mean, I have what I believe in, and you have what you believe in. And I don't need to understand why you believe Jackie Maloney was the best candidate. That's your right. Obviously, I've touched it. You know, it's amazing how we have sore winners. They won. it's mind-boggling. Folks that I I'm aware of, I've worked with them. I understand the work ethic that they bring. I understand their commitment to the philosophy of an effective, efficient judicial system. To call in to try and, you know, create a situation that I'm going to apologize for supporting people I know and supporting my friends who I think are otherwise qualified. Have at it. You have your right to express your opinion. I have my right to express mine. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's go back to the talk lines. We'll go to John. John, you're up. What say you?
Hey, I'm sorry I missed that first hour, but I had a question I asked about it, about the demonstrators in Jackson Square being a taxpayer and all that kind of stuff. I think everybody has a right to demonstrate. However, I think when the police arrested the ones that refused to leave the park and resisted and all that at 7 o'clock, between 7 and 8, I think what they need, my opinion is how to handle this is you have a right to demonstrate. You have a right to speak your mind, free speech, but you don't have a right to hide your identity. As shades of vigilanteism, Klan, Ku Klux Klan action, all that. I think the police department ought to publish their photos with their names underneath. And if they know it, whether or not they're a student at a local university or they're just outside agitators, it is amazing. The tents are the exact same color as the tents they're using all over the country, the same little shape and everything. The signs are professionally printed signs for the most part. They're not the work of some college student sitting in a dorm room with his buds or girlfriends painting up protest signs. So as a former sheriff and everything, I was wondering what you might think of that idea. Sunlight's the best antidote.
Well, I mean, if people want to hide their identity, I'm not necessarily, you know, earlier my comments were about if they really believe in their mission and they really believe that what they're doing, you have to be willing to accept the sanctions and the ramifications of your conduct. I said that these people are cowards because they hide their identity. They don't want to face the music. They don't want to face accountability. And the reality is that they have every right to shield their identity, and they have every right to protest within the time, place, and manner restrictions that are in place either by local ordinance or by the rules or the policies of a university or otherwise. Where we have run amok in this country is that we allow them to do what they want, when they want, why they want, how they want, in what they believe is in their best interest. And they believe that their best interest is going to align with everyone else's best interest, and that's not true. But they don't care about others. They're very selfishly motivated, and they're willing to trample on everybody else's rights and privileges, safeties, securities, for the benefit of whatever their whim is, whatever their ideology may be.
That's why I believe it's the light of day. I mean, if you're willing to believe, if you believe that and you want to stand up and espouse that belief publicly, then you should be able to show your face and let everybody know who you are.
Look, I do believe, like you, John, that if you're arrested, your identity should be made known to the public. You know, I've always said that. I've said that in the case of juveniles. I've said that in the case of adults, because I believe that that serves as a deterrent factor. When you put people's faces out there as to what they're doing, why they did it, and so forth, you know, I think it serves a purpose. But, John, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Raymond. You're up. What say you? Raymond, what say you?
I'm a resident. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm a resident right there at Earthhorn and Bourbon Street, and I have guns. If this passes bill, how is that going to affect me because I live there?
Well, it won't affect you to have a gun in your house, and it won't affect you to have a gun in your car. And if you have a handgun permit, you will conceal handgun permit. You would still be able to carry a concealed handgun under the proposed legislation that would set up this exception for the French Quarter.
Yeah, I'm just taking it in like a gun-free zone. Thinking that, like, no guns allowed, no exceptions.
Well, they're not setting up a gun-free zone. I mean, that's kind of how people are referring to it, but it's just another exception. But if you have a valid concealed handgun permit, you could carry in the French Quarter, subject to all the restrictions that exist already relative to carry a concealed handgun, even with a concealed handgun permit.
All right. Appreciate
your time. Thank you. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. I wanted to give another perspective on your endorsements and other political leaders' endorsements. I appreciate the fact that you participate in the democratic process. It's very important. And whether you had endorsed Mrs. Maloney or Ms. Valente, I was interested in your thoughts and the information that you provided about the candidates. So I don't think it's meddling or sticking your nose in, whatever the words have been used this morning. I appreciate it. It's very important to the process. And thank you for taking a stance and a position and putting information in front of the public that we can do with our free will. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Dan. I mean, look, you know, I'm not going to shy away from these folks. What their intent is as it relates to these attacks probably is not too much different than what the candidate participated in during that election. And that's OK. That goes to temperament. I'm a private citizen. I have every right to articulate where I stand on any particular issue like I do every day on issues. If it rubbed them the wrong way because I didn't happen to believe in their candidate, I'm not going to apologize for that. It's my opinion, and I have every right to articulate my opinion. I'm not attacking them for articulating their opinion. I'm glad that they're involved. kudos to them. They won. I don't understand the anger and the resentment. You go through a process. You put yourself out there. You won. I happen to believe that there are skills and skill sets that are greater than just saying that you defended criminals, you prosecuted criminals, and the like. And I think there's more to being a judge than that. The vast majority of lawyers in this country are not trial lawyers. Trial lawyers are a unique group of folks. They're a very important group of folks. They believe in being involved in an adversarial process. I don't not like trial lawyers. I have all kinds of trial lawyer friends, but they would not all make good judges. And there are a lot of judges on the bench that you've heard myself and Rafael Goyeneche and other watchdog groups that have been very critical of and the manner in which they conduct themselves on the bench. And guess what? They were trial lawyers. So just because you're a trial lawyer doesn't necessarily mean or equate that you're going to be a good judge, because there are other factors to that, right? And a lot of times you bring an advocate ideological bent. Judges are not advocates. A lot of our judges that are out there pro this or pro that, it's because they come from that advocacy bent. And I'm not saying, I'm not articulating this as a criticism of Miss Maloney, because I said many times, I don't know her. But the fact of the matter is that I'm not going to make an excuse about that. I think there are a lot of other criteria that come to the forefront that serve candidates well, as relative to being a judge. And those other skill sets are just as important as having conducted an opening statement, a closing statement, a direct examination or cross-examination of a witness, or otherwise. That's it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back out of the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Guy Williams. We'll talk about a number of topics. Stagflation, is that possible? Online fraud targeting teenage boys. What caused the Faubourg Dixie beer to fail? And talk about gold as an investment, part two, and the worst way to buy gold. We'll talk about those issues and others with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, when we return after the top of the hour news break. Stay with us, folks. This is Newell on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.